you for being here. For the purpose of the quorum, I'm Richard Ball, Commissioner of the Department of Ag and Markets, joined by Fund Board Member Peter Aragena, Fund Board Member Michael Kimmelman, and Chair of the New York State Gaming Commission, Mike Gearin's designee Ron Okram, Acting Director of the Division of Horse Racing and Paramutual Wagering at the Gaming Commission. So, quorum being present, we can call the meeting to order. Our first order of business is to designate a board member as the presiding officer for today. Can I get a motion to do so?
I will nominate the commissioner.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're making progress. Thank you so much. So moved. Next item is our approval of minutes. Do we have comments on the minutes?
I just have one question in on the minutes. Is it says we have $950,000 appropriated last month for the Breeders' Awards. I'd like to just make a note on it that that's our goal to hit $950,000, but we're going to start at a base of about $700,000, and hopefully any money we have left over in our budget from purses in September, we'll add it to it, and we're hoping to hit $950,000. But I didn't want to let everybody know if we put it out there at $950,000 and all of a sudden we only have $800,000, they're going to say, well, these are the minutes that said you're going to do $950,000. So I just want everybody to understand that it's going to be $700,000 plus whatever we have left over. So
initially, we'll redesign the budget for $700,000.
Yeah.
At this moment.
Yeah, but that's we fine. All understand that sure. We're going to add whatever we got, we can add to it.
Understood.
So really, the minutes should have read a range between $700,000
yeah.
to up to $950,000.
Yeah, exactly. That's all.
And so a lot of the numbers we come up for this are certainly an estimate based on something we hope that will happen. If the money forgets to show up, we have lots of things that end up like that.
Right. Okay.
So I just want everybody to be clear on that.
So we have a question to the minutes. Are we all in agreement on that? Can we have...
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as
correct.
Okay.
I'll second. And a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Seems to be in as carried. Thank you. Consideration of the 2015 conditions for the New York Sire Stakes, New York Excelsior Series, and New York Sire Stakes County Fair races and finals consolation conditions. You folks want to update us on that? We did approve generally most of this with the exception of the finals and the consolation conditions
at
our last
meeting. Peter made an exception when we were here last time that still some of it is still in here. The trotting hobbles are still in the packet, and I think we decided to take those out. There's a rule going through, rule trends going through the United States Trotting Association, and I think we talked with Brian the other day, and I think the thought is if we can get a little something to get some legs on, we're going to try to work together and maybe next year be able to really get our teeth into this with something to stand on.
Yeah, the changes were incorporated. I think they just put the old version in just to have them because we're going to be talking about this one just to have something
to look at.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's out, and then...
But I know that you wanted to talk about the consolation.
The consolation conditions, we were just talking with Pete. There's a stipulation on page 4 here, which is in the, I don't know if it exists in the Sire Stakes, but it does exist in the conditions for the Excelsior. Now I've lost it again. So page 4 of the Excelsior ones. Where at the very bottom in red, page 4 of the Excelsiors, if an owner has a horse eligible for the Excelsior Series final and also New York Sire's final, then the owner must choose which final to declare into. An owner may only race said horse in one final event. So it does say they must choose which final to declare into before that. I didn't see that before. So we have consolations possible in any of these divisions of the Sire Stakes, and the horses that will race in these consolations in many cases are the next tier down. So it's possible they would have more of a chance to cross over to the Excelsiors when they're picking and choosing, but a horse that could have minimal points might make our Sire Stakes consolations and still make the final for the Excelsiors. And the thinking isn't that they should race in both, I don't believe. So we really need to say that once you've declared into one, including the consolation, you can't declare into the final, because if it's truly just racing in one or the other, you could scratch out of one, and I think somebody who's sharper than me and has a piece of parchment that says they're a lawyer would argue that they wouldn't have raced if they did scratch out, then they would in turn be able to enter into the later event, and that's not really our thinking, that that should be possible.
One or the other.
And I think we could write this and add it to the conditions with finals with consolations. We could add a number 8 in there. And write something up and add that to that, or actually add number 14 and specifically say they only can enter, and like you just said, we could write that onto this condition here.
Right.
Because that'll cover everybody.
However you want to write it, but, you know, however you want to word it, but yeah. I think you want to just tighten down enough. Yeah, so if a guy draws an 8 post position in a $40,000 or $50,000 race, they don't roll the bones and say, well, you know, they're going to have the Excelsior finals at Vernon, and even if I draw 8 there, it's better than, and because there's no starting fees, you know, I'll take a chance at race those horses instead of racing these horses from a disadvantageous post. So I think that it kind of keeps everybody from playing with our draw a little bit.
So what we can do on the Excelsior number 14, we could move that over and make that number 8 on the consolation finals and tighten it up a little bit.
As well as here.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this will cover us, these are going to cover us for the future.
Right.
And the one thing that we have doing this for the consolations in 2015, they didn't exist. So we're not tampering with something that already existed, which is the problem we had on the other thing. So we could here, I would like to put it in the conditions for these races, Peter, for the Sire Stakes and the Excelsior. How do you want to write that up? Do we want to say once you've been declared into race, you no longer have a right?
Well, basically it says here, the
other.
Owner must choose which final to declare into. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point, once you declare in to the consolation, or once you declare into the New York Sire Stakes finals, you cannot declare into the Excelsior finals.
What happens?
Because see, the consolations are always 1 week later.
But sometimes I think people declare in, if they're way down the list, they hope they get in.
Yeah.
You know, like it's possible that number 18 on the side.
Well, that's yeah. That's the other thing. If you have 20, if you have 20 some horses drop in, only 16 are going to race. So if that horse that didn't get in either one, he can go to the Excelsior if he has enough points to be eligible.
Right. I think
so. We're gonna have to look at this and word it, and we're gonna come up with something that'll work.
I think we have to pass it now. Is that
how we want it, right? Or can we?
We have to do it by a certain date.
Well, we definitely want it way in advance of the 15th of February, because that's when we have to pay off. But I think making it yes.
Are you referring to the size 656?
For starters, and then.
For 56, I mean, we have until, I'd say, probably, the 1st of April, Pete?
Yeah, but we want to do this with, it's got also
retroactive
with 54 and 55. Because 54 and 55 are the 2-year-olds this year, and the 3-year-olds this year.
So the consolations.
So we have to, because we're doing consolations, it should go underneath these conditions for the consolations. We should word something in there, make it a number 8. And if a horse, we have to word it. Maybe legal can help us on this, and we have to word it so that if they declare in and get in, they can't scratch out and move to the Excelsior. If they declare in and don't get drawn out of the two, and if they have enough points for the Excelsior, they can drop in the following week in the Excelsior.
Right.
So we need to come up with a wording for to cover all this.
I believe if they don't draw in to the race, they are eligible to enter in the other race.
Right.
But if they do draw in either the final or consolation,
they cannot.
Then they can't
enter into
the other race. I think it's as simple as that.
Right.
And I think the only problem we have, that we can do right now in the regular conditions of 56, the only question mark I have for 2015 is the same thing. If they've paid into these and it doesn't exist in the previous, then for the consolations, we can make this change, because that's new.
That's
but
new.
For the other things, that falls into the same question mark that we have. What do you think?
Well, the one concern I was going to ask Mark is that we already approved the other three, and my understanding was that we didn't approve this one. So we would have to go back and amend the first three we approved, or two of them?
Let me ask, when do they need to, when would you like them to declare? At the point that they're entering, both the Excelsior and the Sire Stakes, and declare it on their entry, or at a later date?
The language that we have, it's almost the same. When we say we enter the horse, that's actually the declaration into that race. They call it basically the same thing. So it would be at the moment that you declared your horse entered into those races, you're making a decision to desire to be in. The problem is sometimes we declare in and we're not in a position to be the most eligible horses for that spot. So it would be once you are drawn into the race, that would determine whether or not, if you're not eligible for the final or the consolation, you would still be permitted to draw into the
Excelsior,
the other race, which might be 2 weeks later. But if you do get in, once you're drawn into the race, then you're no longer eligible to participate in the other races.
You only can race in one final, basically what we're trying to say. But if we know what we're trying to say, and you know, it gets down to the tricky wording of everybody's
Yeah, and we had talked about this. The most important thing is that when they enter, make their entry, that they're aware of the consequences down the line.
Yeah.
So you simply provide notice as to how it should be conducted. No surprises is what we're looking for.
Right.
So however you wish to administer it is within your discretion. Legally, all we want to do is make sure we capture that at the point that they're entering.
It sounds like your point, you know, you can only run in one final. There's a great preference. This is the intention.
Right.
I might suggest that maybe we table this for a few minutes until we have time to craft the sentence that we want in here.
Okay.
But it sounds like we want to act on that today.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe prefacing it with that sentence, you have a choice of one final.
Mm-hmm.
And then back up how you want to do that legally. Does that make sense?
It does. I think having seen what you have in here, plain language is pretty clear as to what you intend. So I don't think there's not much modification, but I would explain it to the people who enter.
Right. So, I mean, we have in here an owner may only race said horse in one final event, but like Mike said, you can drop in if you don't like what you get in the finals. You can always scratch out and then drop in over here. We want to prevent that. So basically, that's the only thing we need into that.
And it didn't account for the consolation existing.
Right. Exactly. The consolations are new.
And every year there's always somebody trying to dance in both places. And similarly, you'd be amazed how quickly they do find someone to represent them to split the hairs. So.
So we'll work on the language to give force and effect to what you have adopted here.
Right.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to table that for a moment. We'll come back to...
Is there something you want to say about
it? Well, Mark had just said that the language was pretty clear. Instead of changing the language, would it be easier just to add a sentence that if you scratch out of a final, you cannot enter in another final? That would solve the problem, which is your concern that someone scratched out.
Final and or consolation.
Yeah. Yeah. Put that sentence in, and that would completely.
That'd be fine.
I mean, if we added it to this page here, I mean, at number 8, and what's written in the Excelsior, move that over, and then add that.
That would take care of.
That would take care.
But this is the long. These conditions that we create.
Right.
It's been kind of our feeling that once we create these conditions,
right, for 56,
they hold up. We don't try to amend them after we accept them. Right?
But we can. We can amend these, correct? Like 54 and 55, you talked about if we wanted to amend to have the two-trainer rule, even though it says owner, we wanted to add trainer. You said we have the legal right to go back.
You can amend prior to instituting, April 1st is our deadline. Is this when we're taking entries?
Well, on these prior ones, we've been getting paid on them right along, and they get paid in as yearlings prior to the sale, But the situation that we have for the horses that will be 3-year-olds this year, they have owners that have paid in when they purchased a horse to race in the Sire Stakes, thinking that the rules were X, and then made stake payments along the way. They felt the rules to the game were this. If we change the rules on them, and I've been reached out to by one trainer and a couple of his owners that happen to work in the legal field, and they've told me we will hear from them if we tamper with that. Right. And it's not that we should be afraid of them, but to create fires to put out, you know, I think that this, the way we have it, you know, if we put them in the conditions going forward, we get a chance to see if we're right or wrong and ride that ride. I think we start changing the rules partway through, if it's not an emergency, or creating work for ourselves and not want to have.
Right, you know, as a blanket, I would say that amendments after the fact are never, never a good thing. You're always going to have controversy and challenging it. But I'd always have to see what you change. You know, it really is a case-by-case determination as to whether those amendments are sound.
No, but well, yeah, because see, now we're adding cancellations, which is new.
Right.
So by adding the cancellations, you should be able to make your terms in this, in
what
these cancellations, and how you want it. How
the
cancellations.
The cancellations we just did last time.
Yeah.
The other ones we did. That's what,
right.
I
that's what I'm saying. So in other words, if we wanted to add, like for number six, for instance, an owner or trainer, we already had always in there an owner, but we never had a trainer. So if we wanted to add a trainer as an owner, trainer number six can have only two horses entered in the finals or cancellations of schedule. Because we're adding cancellations, we have the right to change that to two trainers.
In the consolations.
In consolations and finals.
I don't think we do in the finals, but
that's right. Right here, finals and consolations.
Yeah, it says both.
Finals and consolations, because you're able to see before, if we didn't have consolations, then you didn't have some place to move them horses if they had 3, 4, 5 horses. Okay? It's like an owner. We have owner, and the other thing is owners buy the horses. When you buy a horse, it's under an owner. So when anybody that bought a horse at the sale last fall, okay, whether they bought 4, 5, 6 horses to race, if they're the same gait and same age and same sex and everything, he already knows he only can race 2 because that's been in the rules for the last 10 years. Okay. Now, if a trainer goes out and buys a horse, and we're eliminating his training, but he's buying the horse as an owner. You don't race a horse as a trainer. So owning a horse and buying a horse and owning a horse, the rule has already been there, established for over 10 years, that they only can race 2 horses. Now, adding the consolations in, if an owner does happen to have 3 horses, which happened a few years ago, Kenny Jacobs had 3 in, 2 of them get to stay in, the 3rd one gets to go to the consolation. So it's not like we're throwing them out. In 2014, if that happened, we didn't have a consolation or the fall harvest, supposedly, to race of it, so at least they've got a place to race. So, I mean, if you were going to do this, it could be done underneath the finals with consolations, okay? Now, if we do it the way, if we do it with 56 and wait till 57, it's going to take us 3 years. The problem is in 2 more years from now, 2-year-olds in 2016, a trainer could only have, with this trainer rule, the trainer could only have 2 horses in the final, okay? At that same year, the 3-year-olds could get away. They can't. They can have as many as the trainer has. So we're racing all 8 divisions in the same year. Half of them are going to be with only 2 trainers, and the other half will be with more than 2 trainers. Okay, it's not being done at the same time. I think there's going to be a lot of confusion if it happens there. People complaining. That's why if we implement the consolations right now, implement the 2 trainer rule. It's all done the same year. It's done this year in 15, and it's not going to take us 3 years to get to everybody's on the same playing field. That's my only comment about that. So,
yes, Jackie.
I'm just going to ask because it sounds like that verbiage, along with Betty's sentence, will be fine for this to be inserted in number 8 in these.
Yes.
And then Ron, to answer your question on what we did at the last meeting, have you ever thought of it taking an action where an effective date is inserted in the document, the rules that were passed, so it says effective one whatever year out, you have to build it out, the ones we already passed?
I defer to Mark.
Yeah, we
Could you do that? Take it as a board action now and say, adopt this with these eight, and then where it exists already previously, just put parentheses in the effective dates. That way, when people read it, they know it's coming down the pipe.
We can make an amendment. Yeah, but what are the dates?
I don't know.
A couple of quick points on these extraordinary circumstances. We've existed for a long time without having these restrictive rules. It's not an emergency. I happen to think it's a good idea to do it only because it doesn't make people feel like they're going to get shoved out. So the idea behind it, I think, is sound. And I think that in the long term, it's an idea that I would stand behind as trying to see if it makes sense. We see whether it does or doesn't work. I will say that at this time, it doesn't happen a lot that a trainer manages to get more than one horse in these finals. It happens very rarely. But when it does happen, there are many instances. I know that Linda Toscano, up until last year, was the one before that happened, and she had different customers that owned horses in the race. And so we didn't have as big a deal because they got in. But when you have to go to your customers that are paying you and say, look, his two are going to get in and yours is not, you can race for $40,000 or $50,000. His two are going to race for $225,000. You are going to create angst, and it's going to be very hard for them to make that choice. Now they could go to their customers and say, "Well, these two are higher up, so you are lower. You go, even though you may have earned your way in." They will find a way around it. They will take us right to the 30-day rule. It becomes much easier for these people to do it when you have a huge barn with a lot of capital. If you can go buy more horses, even if you didn't start with them, and it makes it a little easier to do it than a guy that starts with three and one gets hurt, you can only have two. When a guy has hundreds of horses, he can go out and buy more and have a better chance. He can almost buy his way in. If halfway through a year he buys a horse that already has enough points to get in, he's almost insured that horse he just bought is going to race for $225,000. That's also part of why he bought that horse. And if he's going out, this trainer, and recommended to his customers, buy this horse because you will be able to race for this money, and then we change the rules partway through, we're going to hear from that guy. And if these rules exist before that and he does that, then he's forced to play by our rules. When we make these amendments at this time and we restrict people from doing something that they claim they've already invested money to participate according to rules, they're going to come talk to us. And do I think it's somewhat arrogant that they think it's that easy they can repeat it again next year? We did have a guy. He had three horses in the Sire Stakes final last year. They were probably the three best horses in the final. Not one of them finished first, second, third, or fourth.
And they took him off the betting chart and ran him non-betting.
Right.
So it didn't do no good for what we're trying to promote when we had the finals of having good races, the betting public, increasing the handle and everything that we're promoting here, they just took him right off the betting card, so you didn't even get a chance to bet on. So now you only had, out of eight horses, you only had five horses in the field to bet on.
So I think the spirit of what we're trying to get done here is right, but I think going through what's been our traditional way of doing it and letting it correct itself, if we follow these conditions that are passed on this subject without the added rules, in 2016 finals, the two-year-olds will adhere to this rule. In 2017, everybody will adhere to this rule without running the risk.
No, 2018. 2017, the two-year-olds now become three-year-olds, and they're still, these two-year-olds that are racing this year in 15 and 16, they'll be able to race with multiple trainers.
These are the two-year-olds of 16 that were passing conditions on.
Right.
So the two-year-olds of
16. Yes, two-year-olds of 16.
16. But when we get to 2017, everybody will adhere to these rules.
Right.
Because the two-year-olds of 16 will be the three-year-olds of 2017.
Right.
And the two-year-olds of 2017 will adhere to the ones we pass next year.
Right. Yeah.
So I think we're holding our breath for a little bit, but we're avoiding making unnecessary aggravation for ourselves, which I am pretty sure is coming, and we'll be able to dismiss it at first because I think I said, show me how you get these horses in here. And if the guy does, he's going to come. And I've been contacted, like, if I don't know where somebody said something from, but after the last meeting, we had talked. A couple weeks later, I got the first phone call. I was at the Meadowlands horse sale last weekend. Howard Taylor, who you know Howard Run? And he's very, he probably owns about 200 horses. So, and he represents a lot of people in this business. He's told me, be prepared for me to call you if that happens. And it's not that I want to be bullied, but I don't know if we really have ground here if we change this midstream. You know that a lot better than I do. So I think that in a utopian world, I like what we're doing, but I think we should hold our breath and run it through the normal process. And you guys know that stuff a lot better than me. I think the rest of the commissions, I think, are good. The where is that page? The additional stuff.
In front of it.
So Pete, you had said there was something else on here you wanted to modify too.
I wanted to add, well, if we take out number six, then we're going to add seven. We'll move up to six. We'll add what Jackie just said. We'll add the Excelsior says about an anatomy if a horse is scratched, that it can't go into the...
It can't go into the...
I think it should be added here. It should be also put in number 56, so we got it, so we're covered by every...
For going forward, so you don't have to have this.
Right. But, I mean, you'll have it in 56, but we need that, and we need to have it for this year in 15. So in order to... Because we can't go back and do 55... 54, so we add it here in these conditions because we got
condemnation. Because it never existed.
Because it never existed. So now you put that in there. So we're covered there. So it's in, it'll be in every, and then when we do 57, 58, whatever, it'll all continue on once we get through that. But basically what these conditions are for, because we used to have one for the fall harvest, okay, that was our so-called consolation. We had a one-sheet page showing us all the conditions and how they're drawn and everything, and basically, we just copied that but made it more simpler because a lot of the stuff through the years we've been putting into the regular conditions and updating them so that we got everything covered.
The only other thing I would say on this, I don't remember we talked about the consolations because they asked if we could have them.
Mm.
We've had a push from the racing public to try to bring back these consolations. I think there's a big misconception of how Excelsior B, where that came from, and they thought we took money we used to run these consolations from. And created a whole new thing, which could be more the opposite. And Pete and Brian did a great job saving money with Excelsior B. But I think that if we choose in the future, if we decide that these consolation races aren't up to snuff, and they end up similar to the old Sire Stakes, what they call it, harvest races, if they're of that quality, we decide we want to spend that money, who knows for what. Do we have a right to not have the consolations if they're in 56? Do we have a right to not do that?
They're not in 56. That's why we have a separate sheet. This isn't part of 56. This is a separate sheet.
Okay, so 56 has no mention of consolations then.
No, it does. Every one of them from 54, 55, and 56 we've added, it says we have finals with consolations if scheduled. If we decide not to schedule them, then there are no consolations.
Okay, so we're okay.
So that's why we put this in a couple of years ago. We added if scheduled in case we were going to have consolations coming up. We were looking
for
that.
But that's on us to do that.
Yes. Right.
Okay, because that's important because I know we said.
And if we don't do consolations next year, this sheet doesn't mean anything. It's just like we have the fall harvest. We don't have the fall harvest no more, so that sheet doesn't mean anything. If you brought the fall harvest back, we have the conditions. So basically, that's what this is all about. If scheduled. That's why everything in here has been changed to if scheduled. So we have the choice to do what we want, when we want, and how we want to do it.
All right. So you got enough information, do you think, to construct some language for us?
Yes.
All right. We'll come back to cancellation. Sure.
So that you guys can think about what you're voting on a little bit.
Yeah.
As a trailer,
actually in 56. 56, no, 56 are for yearlings, or for two-year-olds in 2016. So once it's put in 56, okay?
That's at the beginning of the condition, right?
Right.
I think that's already there.
It's, yes.
I thought you wanted to start the last sentence.
Yeah, we just want to strip.
We just want to get the action today down pat.
Yeah. I think that's our intent for the action today.
Right. So as far as 56 goes, those conditions will be sent out. You'll pay the $50 for those conditions in May 15th. So basically, it's April 15th when everything gets sent out, roughly, or April 1st, somewhere around that.
We'll send them out to the staking companies and to everybody, the public, and then
The time frame will be around April 1st.
April 15th are mailed out for people to pay back in May 15th. So they basically take effect once you vote on them, and they're kind of in stone. And then they're good until the horses age out at 3, at 4.
And those horses would then race at first in the early summer of 2016.
And back in 2017. See, each year we have, like next year will be 57. Those will be for foals that have fallen this year. So every year we set conditions for that each year that these horses are foals. So 56 doesn't take effect till the two-year-olds are in 2016.
So there's no need to amend the conditions that were adopted at the last meeting?
Right. The only one is this one single sheet.
Okay.
Right.
Sorry, I think
I'm confused.
And 56, I think you wanted to add, on 56, you wanted to add that Betty's trailer, right? Correct?
If they have scratch, they can't go in another place.
Right.
But we did 56 at the last meeting, so we'll have to go.
I'm just looking at 56 right now. Hang on. Actually, it's in the Excelsior, but it's not in 56, right?
Right.
Okay, so that makes it easy.
Okay, so it's in the Excelsior, but it should be in both. Because somebody might read the Excelsior, not read it in the, you know. So you might want to take what we have in the Excelsior and add that to 56. So it's in there, and we'll do it to 57, 58, and so forth down the road.
It should be.
Yes, and since it's not in there, then we should do it. So basically we have to amend the approval from last meeting for 56 and reapprove it with this in there. And, of course, the trot and hobbles will be taken out.
Good?
What else is suspenders?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. So all right, thank you. So we'll come back to item 4 when we've got some language to look at.
Okay.
Thank you. Good discussion. Item 5, consideration of the Harness Horse Breeders of New York 2015 contract. Given that there's no executive director of the fund at this time and the need to continue the work provided by HHB, which keeps the industry informed of what the fund is doing, it's going to be necessary for us, given it is January, to approve a contract. We passed already a sole source resolution to enter into a contract with the HHB at our 2014 meeting in October. And at this time, there are two proposals that have been provided by HHB. One is for $396,350. The other is for $316,000. I'd like to approve the contract with a smaller increase from $285 to $316, which will allow HHB to continue to provide these services it provided to the fund last year, along with providing some additional services that an executive director would normally be performing. We suggest also that we approve the contract on a semi-annual basis, which would be $158,000. Betty, do you want to comment on that?
No, I have no comment.
Anybody else?
I think that they do a great job doing what they do, and obviously without, you know, an executive director, we need them as much as ever. So.
Sure.
We're covering a lot of extra stuff.
And we'll guarantee that we'll be meeting again, which is a good thing. Can I get a motion?
I abstain from voting on this contract.
Okay.
Because I'm...
He's
I'm
a member, he's on the board of directors of the Parks Commission.
Okay. We will have council amend and make appropriate changes to the contract and the party sign, providing for a six-month term. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? I'll carry.
With one
assumption. With one
assumption.
Item 6, consideration of 2015 grant request for Goshen Museum. We tabled this at our last meeting, given that the request came in a little bit late. We need a little time to take a look at this, and I would recommend that we table it again at this time, since we also recently received a grant request from the TRAC in Goshen. The fund provided the museum $50,000 on October of 2014 for calendar year 2014. I think it makes sense for us to understand this a little bit and perhaps go there. Matter of fact, I would recommend considering that our next meeting maybe we hold there so we can actually look at what they have in mind and hear from them. That would be my suggestion. But any comments?
That would be great with me.
Less travel?
I'll second that.
Okay. Well, let's get a motion first. Motion to table.
I make a motion to table.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. Thank you, gentlemen. Item 7. The new website, NewYorkSireStakes.com, and the recommendation for it. We talked about this at our last meeting. We were aware of two proposals. We wanted to have a little more time to understand them and maybe hear a little bit of a discussion about it. You can supply us with that. Okay.
Well, I'll start off by saying that this past year in 14, past executive director of the fund moved the website to a new host, and in the process moved emails, etc. And it cost the fund over $3,800 to do that. The website has not really been redone or updated in, I'd say, 14, 15 years. A lot of it is non-functioning. What is functioning is redundant. Studio 136 had put in a proposal to upgrade it. At this point, I think it's beyond upgrading. It really needs to be completely redone. Their suggestion for upgrading it was $3,500, I think. I just got these today, I apologize. So those glasses on, glasses off.
Yep.
Their upgrade is $3,800, and there are some other odds and ends. They also charge $100 and some an hour for any training or any help. We currently use a company called Technomosaic. They are willing to completely rebuild the Sire States website for $6,100. And that is basically a brand new website. They do our website. They originally created the Thoroughbred website. We had numerous requests to be able to make their Sire States payments online. At this point, that's impossible. Again, it would be a completely new website. They do not charge for when you call up. They don't charge you. They will get online with you and walk you through everything that you need to do. There's no extra charges.
So we're not spending $100 an hour to ask a question.
No. They also put the website on a protected server. It's in the cloud. If it should be hacked or something, it can be put back at no cost. Their annual fees are $1,000, a little less, $960. So it's less than $1,000 a year. And that's pretty much 24/7 support. Most of it is Excel files that you can load, just PDFs. It's all very easily done in the office. And right now, it takes us 4 days just to change a password with what they have.
Yikes.
And it was $100 to change your password and allow me access after I've been blocked. So
4 days and $100.
Yes. So our suggestion is that it would make the fund's website much more modern, less expensive, easier to navigate, and I think we could probably, if I had offered, even though it's not in our contract, I had offered to help create the website with, you know, approval of funds, whatever we do. I think we can probably incorporate some of those pages. Right now they charge $200 a page. I think some of the stuff, instead of having a whole page, they could link to PDFs on the server. We might be able to get it down another maybe $1,000. But I think for the money, you're going to end up having a very useful website.
Do we have a time frame on?
Four weeks. You can have a new website.
Oh. Wow.
And you don't pay until the website is up and up, until it goes live. The other one, they want half the money up front. And they don't really guarantee any specific time frame. Like I said, after 4 days to get a password changed, I wouldn't feel too comfortable that.
Right.
How long did it take for the fund to move the emails? 2 months?
Yeah, and mine never got moved.
So I just don't feel that they have been very helpful. They definitely have not been trainer friendly. So my suggestion is for the fund to rebuild the website with Equus Media.
Okay. Yeah, Lisa, you agree?
Yes. At least those training will give me help when I needed it. We had a meeting with Studio 136, and he said he would call me within a week to train me on the changes they made on the web page, which wasn't much, but I've never heard of him.
Is it possible? I'm by far the Neanderthal in the room, but if we're using the same company for both websites, I understand the need to have two different websites. You know, in a perfect world, we'd be doing business together forever, but just for sake. But if we're doing the same actions on both websites and we have that much redundancy, it seems like a huge waste of time to me, along with expense. Is it possible with one person doing this for us that there's a way to navigate from one site back to the other that's fairly clean, so we don't have to do things twice, especially if you're doing both jobs, sort of?
We actually have two very different. The Sire State website is mostly the state-required information, reports, eligible horses, everything that really is Sire States related as far as rules, regulations, forms is on the Sire States website. We do more replays, news, information, but they really carry two totally separate things.
And so, for example, somebody wouldn't ask somebody on both sites what the points stand for. That's covered by...
With the points, we can click from either website. You can also go from one site to the other and back. So there are shortcuts to go back and forth, and both of them will take you to the points, but they're not on our website. They're on a separate secure server. The entire Sire States database is on a separate secure server. We can just go there and look for the information that we need.
So you're comfortable with the efficiency of it, the way you said?
I think it's important for the Sire States program to have their own separate website with rules, regulations, etc. Yes.
Dave?
I'm good with this. A few years ago, I worked with Marcello getting the post stuff and doing the calendar and the scheduling and stuff on it. And it would be 9, 10 o'clock at night, and he'd call him, and if he got any questions, he'd take care of it. And I had no problems with it.
Actually, on both websites, and I definitely think that the feed is much more easier to navigate.
Okay. And like I was talking with Ron, I mean, the Sire Steak website is basically a dinosaur.
It just
needs to go and start again.
Time to move on. Can we get a motion to accept the proposal?
Make a motion to accept.
Okay.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. Thank you very much. At this point, we're going to go into executive session. If we can get a motion to do so. We've got to discuss some personnel management. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? So I'm going to ask for everyone to leave the room except for the fund members. Jackie, Mark Stewart, Sandy Meadows, and Walt Lehman. If you would stay with us. Sure.